Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Eye on the Tigers podcast. My name is Eli Hoff and I'm your Mizzou sports beat writer for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com. Talking a whole lot of college basketball on the show here because Mizzou continues to have an interesting season, frankly. We'll dig into to the latest results with a win over Arkansas, a loss at Texas, but spend the bulk of the show talking about kind of the next four-game stretch coming up here for the Tigers and what it'll mean for this season and really for defining the ceiling of this season in this team. A whole lot to unpack there. But let's start for just a few minutes with what happened on Tuesday this week for Mizzou men's basketball. Tigers went down to Austin, Texas, to face the University of Texas Longhorns for the first time since both teams were in the Big 12. Right, it's a reunion with Texas this year, and Mizzou puts up a season low 53 points across the entire game, season low 25 points in the first half, and they end up losing by 8, 61-53 to Texas in Austin. This was an incredibly ugly game. I think anybody who watched it, if you're someone who's ESPN app to watch it didn't get you into the game until a few minutes in, you didn't miss much. The first point of the game was scored with 16:19 to go in the first half. So that's 3 minutes and 41 seconds into the game. And that was Texas hitting a free throw. It took more than 4 minutes for anybody to make a basket. This was a game Mizzou had a lead in the kind of early back and forth. They had a 4-1 lead with 13:41 to go. And then Texas got it going a little bit quicker in the first half, led by as much as 10. They led by 7 at halftime. This game was 32-25 at halftime, just an incredibly low-scoring stuff. And then Mizzou got the offense figured out to a slightly better degree in the second half, ended up taking a lead, holding a lead for a while there, and then it crumbled in the last few minutes. Texas closed. It was Mizzou led 50-49 with 4 minutes to go. Texas goes on a run, and the final score, of course, 61-53. A whole lot of not unanswered points, but insufficiently answered points for Texas down the stretch. This was, like I said, Mizzou's worst offensive outing of the year. And in my eyes, there's, I don't know, maybe it's a glass half full, glass half empty type way you can look at this game. The half empty, right, is the obvious one, that the offense just wasn't working for Mizzou, and in many ways it was a regression, I think, to what this Missouri team is. I hate to say at its worst, but it was the worst offensive showing of the game, and I say that because the 3-point shooting, or the shooting at large, but the 3-point shooting just wasn't there for Mizzou. 4-for-22 from three, that's 18.2%. Now it wasn't there for Texas either. They made 4 threes as well. They just did it on 20 attempts versus 22 attempts. But you saw with Mizzou a combination of some shots just not dropping, and then some guys hunting for 3-point shots, some that felt settled for it. It was one of those games where it does make you say, okay, you know, maybe not as much 3-point shooting is in order for this team to work. Trent Pierce was the only player to make multiple. He was 2-for-5 from there. I think when you look at Caleb Grill's stat line, that he was 1-for-6 from the field. That was 1 made 3. He was 1-for-5 from 3-point range. That's going to be tough. That's not a crazy knock on him. He's came in and made 3 of his 4 free throws, had 6 rebounds there. But yeah, when you have your shooters on this team going 1 for 5 from 3, it's going to be a tough night. The biggest spot of regression, especially compared to what we'd been seeing from this Missouri team in SEC play, I think was on the rebounding front. They got out rebounded by Texas straight up, 39 rebounds for the Longhorns, 31 for Missouri. But the indicting part is the offensive rebounds, right? That was 14 offensive rebounds for Texas, 8 for Missouri. And so those are important, but I think the more important stat with that is the second chance points, right? What do your offensive rebounds turn into? So Texas turned 14 offensive rebounds into 20 second chance points. You can do the math there at how many points per offensive rebound or points per possession that generates. I can't do that math that quickly. Missouri had those 8 offensive rebounds for only 4 second chance points. I can do that math quickly. That's half a point per offensive rebound. That's just not gonna be effective enough. 20-4 on second chance points. That's 6 points or 16 points right there. Margin of victory was 8 for the Longhorns. That makes a difference. And it felt like Missouri was back to being the team that you don't know what it can really do on the offensive glass. They'd been winning the rebounding battle in a lot of these games. They pushed Auburn in that. They won it in their home games. They put Florida as one of the best rebounding teams in the country, and Mizzou was step for step, box out for box out with the Gators on the rebounding front, and that just vanishes in this game. Texas played with there was a certain physicality to the game, and that got Mizzou into some foul trouble. Ant Robinson, Trent Pierce, and Tony Perkins all finished with 4 fouls apiece. And you could see that messed with some of Dennis Gates' rotations a little bit. They were back to being kind of funky in this game. You saw Aiden Shaw come back in for stretches here. T.O. Barrett played 12 minutes. That was the second most he's played in a game this year. He seemed solid in that, right? He came in and facilitated things well. Had 2 assists to 1 turnover, which is pretty positive. But even he had 3 fouls. There was some. I think Mizzou fans will come away from that game maybe a little frustrated with the officiating. I don't get into the weeds too much on that. I think regardless of what you think of the officiating, there was some handsiness from the Mizzou defense that isn't always there and certainly doesn't need to be there. Dennis Gates afterward talked about mostly the finishing at the rim that didn't seem to be what he liked, and that showed up. Mizzou on layup specifically, Mizzou was 5 for 12 according to the live stats. I don't take that number as too concrete because the live stats can be sort of funky with what's graded as a layup versus a dunk opportunity or floater or any of that. But not a great night at the rim for Mizzou. They wound up getting to the free throw line at an okay rate. 27 free throw attempts, I think, is fine for this Missouri team. Making only 19 of them, that's 70% from the free throw line. That continues to be something for this Missouri team, that they can get to the line so well and so often, but don't always make teams pay for what they're doing there. As far as the so that was all the glass half empty, right? The glass half full view on this is that if you are Mizzou, you had your worst offensive outing of the year, and you only lost by 8. You were in this game until there were, I mean, with a minute to go, this was a 5-point ball game with a minute to go, and then Texas scored enough to make it 8 by the end. I would argue Mizzou was in this game until the final minute, despite having its worst offensive night of the year. That's what the defense was able to do against Texas. Texas has good players. They're a good team. They had lost to some really good teams coming into this, right? You've got Pope, who's a good shooter. Johnson is one of the better freshmen. Like, there is talent in this Texas team, and you held them to 61 points and kept yourself in a game despite your offense not doing enough to be in the game. So that's the glass half full view, that if this is an offensive anomaly, which it seems like it could be, right? The Mizzou offense has generally been one of the better ones in the SEC. It has certainly generally looked better than in that game. Then I don't think this is something to freak out about. Ugly game, yes, not fun to watch. Not a strong outing for the Tigers, but I think at face value you can find that positive in it. The other part of this is that Mizzou was not favored in this game. Playing on the road in the SEC, in most cases, you're going to be an underdog. I think KenPom's projection had Texas maybe by 2 or 3 points, and certainly in a higher scoring game there, I think both teams were, you expect to get into the 70s at least scoring wise, right? But this was, it's not like this is a catastrophic loss that really alters the course of Mizzou's season. Because again, when we talked about it on this podcast, I'm sure I wrote it at stltoday.com as well. Going into this first third of the SEC season, which was the games at Auburn, the home games against LSU and Vanderbilt, then at Florida, home against Arkansas, at Texas, right? Of those, the sense was that Mizzou needed to go 3-3, needed to be 500 coming out of this first third of the SEC season. And I say third, it's not it, loose, yes. 6 games out of 18. Should do the math for you guys there. Coming out of this first third of the season, 500 would have Mizzou on track to make the NCAA tournament, get to those 8 wins, right? Make this a solid season for a program that's coming back from a poor season last year. Mizzou's 4-2, right? That upset against Florida still carries a lot of weight here, and we're gonna see that for the whole this whole run through the SEC. It has them ahead of schedule in terms of making the SEC tournament, and it still raises that question of what is this team ceiling going to be? Because that was a game that I was among the many people, I'm sure many of you were too, who didn't think Mizzou was capable of winning that game. Mizzou won that game, right? So this question of what Mizzou's ceiling is has been out there, right? I think we are closing in on the stretch, or about to be in the stretch, that will give us the answer to that question. These next four games, I think, are what will tell us Mizzou's ceiling, or certainly what the expectation for Mizzou's ceiling should be, right? It'll be an open question what the Tigers actually do in the postseason. These next four games, starting on Saturday. So Saturday, hosting Ole Miss. Then they're off in the Tuesday, Wednesday slot, so it's the quote unquote bye. So the Mizzou has a week between games here. So home against Mississippi, then at Mississippi State, then on the Wednesday at Tennessee, and then home that next Saturday against Texas A&M. All four of those teams are in the top 16 in the AP poll, top 21 in net rankings, and top 23 in KenPom. Mizzou, if you go by KenPom projections, projected to go 2-2. In that stretch, win the home games. They have Mizzou with a 51% chance to beat Ole Miss and a 50% chance against A&M, 1 point victories in both of those. KenPom has Mizzou losing by 6 to Mississippi State and losing by 10 to Tennessee.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
I want to walk through these teams sort of individually, but this is the stretch where Mizzou, again, so far has benefited from playing three of the more beatable teams in the SEC on their home floor, in LSU, Vanderbilt, and Arkansas. It still that should not diminish those wins. Getting a conference win is important. Getting it on your home floor is very important, and Mizzou took care of business in those situations, right? Mississippi, Ole Miss will be the best team to come on to the Mizzou Arena floor, right? Since Kansas was, right? This is a going to be a stiffer test for Mizzou when it comes to a home game, right? Playing at Mississippi State in Tennessee, that's up there, right? With what, well, not Auburn. Auburn seems to be in a tier of its own in the SEC, but certainly up there with what playing in Gainesville against Florida was. This is a kind of these are big time games in a way that not every SEC game is, right? Every SEC game is valuable and important and all that, but this is now playing against teams from the top half of the SEC that if Mizzou wants to be in that mix, Mizzou, you can make it to the NCAA tournament as a bottom half SEC team. You got to be close to that halfway point. You got to be close to that average point. But there will be if this league gets 10, 11, 12 teams into the NCAA tournament, whatever it ends up being, there can only be eight top half teams in the SEC. So somebody from the bottom half is getting in, right? Mizzou's right now in that middle third, but still probably bottom half. These games are against teams in that top half of the SEC that determine it there. If you can go 2-2 in here, if you go 3-1 or 4-0, so like certainly that changes the ceiling, right? And what's going to be interesting here too, these are games where, let's say Mizzou goes 0-4 in this stretch, right? Loses to Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Tennessee, and Texas A&M. It would not be good, right? It would not be pretty, but it wouldn't be catastrophic because Mizzou has given itself a margin for error with that Florida win. Mizzou could then go and beat Oklahoma at home, beat South Carolina at home, beat Kentucky at home, and then maybe beat they get Arkansas, Vanderbilt, and Oklahoma again on the road, right? Win one of those games and Mizzou, again, Mizzou has 4 wins already. It only needs to find four more from here to probably be making the tournament. These games are not must wins for what we've established the floor to be for Missouri, which seems to be making the NCAA tournament at this point. This is all about ceiling, right? Getting one win here, I'm not sure how much that does for the ceiling, right? Getting two, that tells you, okay, Mizzou has a chance to be a top half team here. We'll continue defending home floor. It's the if Mizzou can get to three or four, that this starts to look very differently. I think Mizzou would be viewed very differently, in that sense. What's going to interest me here? So you've got Ole Miss coming to town on Saturday. Another sold out crowd for Mizzou. That'll be the third in a row, I think, for sold out home games. These 5 p.m. tip offs on Saturdays, I think are really helpful for getting fans into Mizzou Arena. This is going to be interesting to see. Ole Miss, I would expect, is going to be fired up after losing to Texas A&M on Wednesday this week. That was a game in Oxford. Rebels controlled it for I don't know when Texas A&M scored the bucket to go ahead, but they controlled that game for 39 minutes and 30 seconds, give or take, just in the driver's seat for the vast majority. Texas A&M just stuck around and stole it late to get a win there. But Ole Miss still a very talented team in this conference. They're 16th in the AP poll, 18th in net rankings, and 18 on KenPom as well. Again, Mizzou gets the slight edge when you look at the KenPom model in this one because it is on it's on the it's at Mizzou Arena, right? Ole Miss is a team that, when you look at the kind of statistical profile, has similarities to Auburn, in that they don't turn the ball over all that much. Ole Miss has the third best turnover percentage when they have the ball in their hands. They only turn it over on 13.4% of possessions, which is the third best in the country. Whereas we know this Mizzou team, wants to steal the ball, right? Mizzou. We'll put it this way: Ole Miss is third in turnover percentage. Mizzou's defense is fifth in steal percentage. Right? They want to get their hands on the ball and knock it away and score. They haven't been doing that as much. I think the scout is out there on what Mizzou wants to do in transition, so other teams are working to slow that down. But then I just mentioned that Mizzou is fifth in steal percentage. Fourth in steal percentage is the Ole Miss defense. This is two teams that both pride themselves on not turning the ball over and on turning other teams over. Something is going to have to give there, right? Ole Miss is a team that they'll shoot more threes, I think, than your average team. They're not gonna bomb away from 3-point range, but they'll shoot a little bit more there. It's going to be a test. They're a team that is going to, like I said, I think be a little fired up. They're coming off of two losses in a row here, which was surprising. Ole Miss went into Alabama on January 14th and won by 10 points in Tuscaloosa, just caused headaches for the Crimson Tide with some of what they did. This is an Ole Miss team that lost by two in a neutral site to Purdue in non-con, which of course Purdue might not be what a lot of folks thought they were without Zach Edey there. They beat a Louisville team that seems to be on the up and up. This is a talented Ole Miss team that then after beating Alabama went to play at Mississippi State, the Egg Bowl on the basketball court, and lost by three in overtime in a really good game there, and then had the game stolen against Texas A&M, and so this is a chance for them to get right there. So Ole Miss coming, and then the idle week next weekend, Mizzou has back to back road games for the first time in SEC play, going to Mississippi State. They've got Josh Hubbard, the guard at Mississippi State, is one of my favorite players to watch in this conference. He's just incredibly, incredibly dangerous. He's shooting 35% from three. He can create his own three-pointers. He takes a lot of shots from that Ole Miss team. Obviously, playing at the hump is never easy. And this is a Mississippi State team that has played some tough teams early on in SEC play. They've lost to Kentucky, Auburn, and Tennessee, but have the wins over Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, and South Carolina. It's tough to get a readout on what this Mississippi State team is, because they're a lot like Missouri in that they've beat the teams that they probably should beat on their home floor for the most part, and they've lost a couple other ones to some of these SEC powerhouses. They had a good non-con. They beat Memphis on the road in non-conference play, which is a big deal. And Mississippi State 14th in the AP poll, which is mostly a byproduct of just your record, 21st in net, 23rd in KenPom. But again, that'll be on the road for Missouri, so that's projected to go against them. Playing at Tennessee, Tennessee had a speaking of miserable offensive outings, right, just a really terrible game at Florida. They scored 43 points there. They lost at Vanderbilt over the weekend, and the Commodores got to storm the court. That's how you know it's been a year in SEC sports. Vanderbilt was fined for the SEC policy that says your fans can't be on the playing surface. They were fined for the second time this academic or this sports year because of the field storming they'd had against Alabama in football. So quite the year in Nashville from that side of things. But Tennessee is and they were the number one team in the country for a while here, right? Big team there, and that's on the road playing in Knoxville. Never easy in a basketball sense. And then Mizzou comes back home to get Texas A&M, which is a team that gave them headaches last year. A lot of rock fights come out of games against those Buzz Williams teams. Plenty of rebounding talent to go around in College Station as well. So that'll round out this four game stretch with the home game. Like I said, I think this is what establishes the ceiling. This will show whether Mizzou can beat some of these upper level SEC teams. That this shows if it's when it comes to the SEC tournament, right? Is this something where it's going to be Mizzou plays a big time team and that's it? They go home. This shows for the NCAA tournament, right? Is the expectation to make it, or is it to be making it to the second weekend? This will start to formulate with these games, with getting some of these big games at home. It'll test what the ability to respond is from this Texas game. Mizzou did well responding when they went to Auburn and played what I think is the best team in the country, or certainly very, very high up there with what Bruce Pearl and Auburn have this year. It did not go well, right? 84-68 result there. And then Mizzou got snowed in at the airport hotel in St. Louis, came back to Columbia and started a four-game winning streak, right? That worked. This will be a test of what they can, how they can compartmentalize or whatever you want to call it for this Texas game to put that aside and move on from it, because it that kind of offense cannot stick around, and this team won't have success, right, if they're doing that. So that'll be something to keep an eye on in these next four games. We're going to keep today's episode short and sweet there to just kind of leave you with a preview of what's to come here for Mizzou basketball. We'll have more Mizzou basketball talk coming for you next week. We're going to start getting into the spring ball. It's not that far off. for Missouri. I wouldn't be surprised if we're getting that announced soon here. NFL draft stuff, I've started to get some questions about where some of these Mizzou guys could be going in the NFL draft. We'll talk more of that on the show. But of course, have you covered from Mizzou Arena this weekend against Ole Miss? More Mizzou basketball news coming there. And Mizzou football, as it's relevant. Not talking about it on today's show, but that'll be coming around soon. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this quick episode of the Eye on the Tigers podcast. You can find more of my work in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch at stltoday.com. We always appreciate it when you rate, review, like, and subscribe, and do all the things you can do to support your favorite Mizzou sports podcast. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a great rest of your day.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.